All right, in 20 seconds from now. 20 seconds from now. Hello, WHO. This is your war correspondent, Herb Plambeck, reporting again from across the Atlantic. Very shortly, I will again be on one of the fronts. On my arrival, I hope to find many additional Iowa and other Midwestern men. For that reason, I'll devote this program to reporting names of Midwestern boys I have not previously mentioned, either on broadcasts or in messages to the WHO newsroom. Some of these men were contacted while at the front, some in rest camps, others back at Third Army headquarters, still others while I was awaiting reassignment in Paris. In short, I've seen these men in many various places and at different times, all recently, and all were most anxious and appreciative for this means of letting their folks know they are getting along fine. A former Cornell College man, Corporal Albert Entwistle, whose folks now live at Rockford, Illinois, was just in from the front when I saw him. He hadn't even shaved yet, but he was grateful to get the rest and to be okay and quite happy to visit. One of the things he impressed on me was the way the men doing the fighting are also buying war bonds. They're outdoing many others in that respect. Another Minnesota man, who has spent considerable time in Iowa at Camp Dodge, and who is anxious to be remembered to General Grohl and to Fred Arthur, is John Butler, Private First Class, now busy driving military leaders and correspondents to meetings in and around Paris. In Paris, on pass just before Easter, I saw Sergeant Billy Kearney of Ocheyden, where his wife and mother live. Sergeant Kearney, a former Buena Vista College man, wears the presidential citation, is a flight chief in a 9th Air Force armament section. Major Lorne Herway, the Indianola air hero, is Kearney's commanding officer, and Bill Murphy, Kickuck boy, is in the same unit. Sergeant Vern Shipway, who formerly was at the Fort Des Moines Hotel as a clerk, and whose wife and folks live in Des Moines now, is also a wearer of the presidential citation, along with four battle stars, and is likewise with the famous 9th Air Force. Shipway was with a pioneer medium marauder group, has been overseas 2.5 years, and is pretty anxious to get home. I also talked with Willis Despain of Burlington, whose wife is at Mediapolis. He is in quartermaster work and spent Easter working and taking in a concert. Other Iowans whom I've had the pleasure of seeing in the past few days include Ray Stauffer, former WHO engineer, with whom we worked regularly before he entered service. Usually, I look up the men, but in this case, Ray, who is now a sergeant, came to my room. It was a happy surprise and an old home week at the same time. Sergeant Stauffer was one of a number of especially trained men selected to serve on a combat radio reporting team for our air forces. While with the Golden Acorn Division, now deep in Germany, Private Fred Griffith of Brooklyn and I tried to get together. It was a close miss, but I learned Fred is one of the top drivers in his outfit, highly regarded by his superiors, and has just received his wife's most welcome Easter greetings. Other Iowans in that same area, busy with allied government affairs, were John Crawford of Indianola, Richard Beatty of Des Moines, with whom I visited, and Philip Rosenberg of Clinton, now a chief warrant officer in finance work. My own Easter was rather busy, beginning with a dawn service, but I had a wonderful group to spend the day with, all Iowans and all wishing they could have spent the day with their loved ones. They were Sergeants Herb Hampton of Cedar Rapids, Robert Rutledge of Early, and Dick Burr of Sioux Rapids, Privates Ralph Schooley of Indianola, Captain Margaret Sherman, and Corporal Bob Fosselman of Des Moines, Privates First Class Myron Neating of Ute, Paul Hayes of Davenport, and Elwood Crouch of Des Moines. Nurse Lieutenant Ellen Campbell of Cherokee, Corporal Joy Vesterby of Rutland, and Ken Williamson of the capital city. I only wish there were more hours in the day to see and more radio minutes to tell of the many grand fellow Iowans over here. This is Herb Plambeck returning you to Des Moines. Hello, Bill Diamond. This is Herb Plambeck, one of WHO's war correspondents, again speaking from Paris. While here, and just before leaving the Third Army, I was with several of our Iowa and other Midwestern farm boys and others close to the farm and food picture. This report concerns several of them. In each case, there's much more to tell, but time, of course, won't permit details. First, a little about a young northeastern Iowa farmer whose family lives near Decorah. He is Staff Sergeant Morris Langland. His father is state representative for Winnesheik County. Sergeant Langland has been in service for nearly 4 years, has been overseas more than 2.5, and yet he's very uncomplaining about it all. Two of his brothers are also in service, one of whom he saw here in December. Young Langland is with an Air Service Command, a mechanic, but occasionally flies with the crew. He has the Bronze Star and a Battle Star, but speaks very little of his own accomplishments. His admiration is for the men who do the flying and who at times have come home with as many as 100 flak holes in their planes. He likewise recalls the days he was operating his father's farm and looks forward to the time when he'll be back in Iowa again, handling good stock and fine crops once more. Sergeant Langland was anxious to be remembered to Everett Weigel and to Nels Urban and Jim Wallace. Like most of the rest of our farm boys here, he finds European agriculture backward, but agrees that livestock in Scotland and England is good, even though much of that left on the continent is poor. And like the rest of the many Iowans I've seen, he enjoyed my ear of prize corn, which is losing a lot of kernels to GI souvenir collectors. Another former Iowa farm youth who impressed me a lot was Delbert Miller of Jessup and Waterloo, recently commissioned a first lieutenant in recognition of his work on the field of battle. Lieutenant Miller heard WHO was represented and made it a special point to look us up. I'm certainly glad he did. He's been in service 2 years and overseas a little over 6 months, but they were important months and included the Battle of the Bulge, where he received his commission while with the First Army. He has the Battle Star, but is anxious to have his family know he's perfectly well and that he spent a part of his 3-day pass with Corporal Mel Larson, also of Jessup. Lieutenant Miller's wife lives at Humboldt. I spent this Easter at the American Church here, but the next one will be with the folks at home, was his optimistic parting word. Another former Iowa farm boy, whom we knew in Scott County and later in Washington and Des Moines, also made our own Easter brighter. Just as I was leaving the impressive dawn service in Paris, Yeoman Second Class Harvey Holden came rushing up. We were both so surprised and delighted we could hardly talk. Our reunion had to be brief, but Harvey made it clear he's getting along fine and very anxious to see his wife and those two babies again, the youngest of which was just 3 days old when he saw her last. Sergeant Paul Cooper of Albernett, Iowa, is another Iowa farm boy I saw at a Red Cross club and very enthused about being selected for officer candidate school. He told me Sergeant Henry Dillman of Mason City is in the same outfit with him. Cooper said he'd be quite happy to get back to Iowa in time to cultivate corn this year. Corporal Alvin Potts of LaVilla, to whom I referred once before, also told me of other Iowans. One is Lieutenant Colonel B.F. Ware of Des Moines, and the other, Corporal C.A. Pestonic of Boone. Both are busy in the quartermaster section. Other Iowans with whom I visited include Corporal Michael Jennings of Corning, who is a food inspector with a Third Army Quartermaster Depot. He reports food quality is very good and that the cooks do a fine job preparing the food. Corporal Jennings also told me that Lieutenant Brock of Red Oak, Captain William Houck of Muscatine, and Sergeant George Ford of Creston are also active in the food end of quartermaster work, and that's an important assignment in any man's army. Those are just a few of the Iowans I've seen while waiting for reassignment. All are well and looking forward to the great day of victory. This is Herb Plambeck returning you to Bill Diamond.
Hello, NBC. Shaving fast to NBC. Okay, NBC. That's all for now, NBC. I guess we'll sign off. This is Shaving Pad, now signing off with NBC New York. Hello, Pee-Wye.